there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Jeff, we need to have a serious discussion about the bullying epidemic that's been affecting the youths and horror movies for generations.
Indeed. Seems like every other movie we watch, Jay, some teen is getting bullied to death at the beginning.
And it needs to be said right here and right now that they don't bully, that in the year 2001, they didn't bully like they used to in the 80s. Sure, they stripped the kid naked and beat the shit out of him, but there was no chanting of "Where's the beef?" That is clear. What I've learned is that when you bully a child and strip them naked to beat the shit out of them, you also have to chant "Where's the beef?"
I mean, if you're not doing that, Jay, what's the point?
Yeah.
What are you even doing?
Yeah, we need to bully like that. Not this new bullying where
also they're bullying. We talked about this beforehand, Jay. I'm going to have to take a public stance on this. First of all, That girl is not fat. Can we stop pretending that a girl who's like 5 pounds overweight is fat? It's offensive to us actual fat people. And Buffalo as a nickname? What the hell is this, Jay?
Especially, Buffalo would probably be like a good nickname for a guy who plays O-line in high school.
Seems like a cool football nickname, not like a nickname for a fat chick. But I don't know.
We'll get to it. Let's set up for the Valentine's dance as we talk about 2001's Valentine.
Hopefully I can see through these hearts in my eyes. Oh, wait, that was last year.
All right, we'll probably actually do that movie next year. Released February 2nd, 2001. Hey, pretty good.
That's close. I like it.
Directed by Jamie Blanks, who also directed the Urban Legend movies, and is still getting work as a composer, like in movies like relatively recently, which is pretty cool.
In true Hollywood fashion, it was based on a book, but not based on it at all. They took the idea of a guy killing people in a Cupid mask, and that was pretty much the only thing they took from it.
That's what I heard. One of my reviews is someone complaining to that exact effect. Tom Savage's book, Valentine. We've got screenplay credits for Donna and Wayne Powers, writers of Deep Blue Sea, Gretchen J. Berry, and Aaron Herberts. Starting off, Denise Richards is doing her part as Paige.
Yes, indeed.
We've got David Boreanaz playing Adam. You probably know him best as Angel from Buffy or
Man Bones
from Bones. Jeff, I asked my wife. She watched a lot of Bones. Apparently, there's never once a Halloween episode where Bones or Booth dresses up like a vampire. And I'm sorry, I would have had him dress up as a vampire every single year for Halloween.
He definitely should have. I have watched a lot of Bones by virtue of the fact that people watch Bones when I'm around for some reason. And yeah, they're leaving a lot on the table when it comes to Man Bones.
You never have to address it. You never have to do anything. You just have to be like, no, Booth just really likes vampires. Like, you never have to like have anyone say anything. You just, one year you have him be Bela Lugosi. One year you have him be Max Schreck. One year you have him be
Gary Oldman
Dracula. And like, you have him be a lost boy one year. Mm-hmm. Like, you just subtly do this as just a slight nod to the audience.
Every time my wife or sister-in-law is watching Bones, I annoy them with the same bad joke over and over again, Jay. I go, hey, Bones, I've got a bone you could look at.
Excellent. Marley Shelton plays Kate, probably best known as Judy Hicks in the Scream movies. R.I.P. Judy. Made it two movies.
Sad.
Jessica Capshaw is Dorothy. Jessica Caulfield is Lily. Katherine Heigl is Shelley. Fulvio Circe, I don't know, is Detective Vaughn.
I tried to figure out where I knew Katherine Heigl from, and I was like, oh, it's Grey's Anatomy.
And, not wedding crashers, or not bridesmaids. The Seth Rogen knocked up, I think, or something like that.
Something, I'm sure, yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Haig Sutherland, who plays Bookish Guy. I don't know.
I'm Bookish.
We'll see again in Halloween Resurrection as Aaron. Eddie plays Trevor in the fantastic movie Slither.
Oh, I don't know if anybody recognized the composer, Don Davis. He did the Matrix movies.
Oh, excellent. Adrian Holmes plays Banker. I don't recall. There must have been. Oh, maybe the phone call that he makes. We last saw as Scott, the dad in The Changeling Story in A Christmas Horror Story.
His best work.
Ty Olson plays Jock. And we last saw him as Mitch, I don't know, in Thanksgiving.
Good for
fuck,
him.
Fuck you, Eli Roth.
I bet. Fuck that production company. Fuck everything over there.
Daniel Boleyu is a Shy Guy, not the Mario characters. I assume it's the guy who's muttering and stumbling through the speed dating.
Yes.
Is Bald Trucker in Joyride 2, Dead Ahead.
Good.
Which I assume he's in the scene where the guy who hates truckers because his dad was a trucker screams about how he hates truckers or something. That movie's weird. The first Joyride's great. The other two Joyrides are bad.
That sounds like a prime fodder for a fat boy summer.
Alex Dickin plays Pastor, but was more importantly a deckhand in Friday the 13th Part 8, Jason on a Boat.
Oh, boy.
And in New York for about 30 minutes. It's
20 minutes at the end.
Chris Webb is video man number 3 and did stunts for Christmas Icetastrophe, a movie that as soon as I heard about, I messaged you and then I put it in the queue.
As you should.
C. Ernst Hirth, with an uncredited role as doorman, was the giant baby in Trick or Treat. Mm-hmm. $29 million budget, $36.7 million box office. Did not make its money back.
I'm shocked, Jay. I'm shocked. Got a little behind the scenes info for you.
Oh, sure.
So Warner Brothers Pictures greenlit this in response to "I Know What You Did Last Summer."
I can see it.
We got to get some of that energy over here. And they were like, we got to target the teen date crowd. So who are we going to get? Denise Richards, known for teen dating. Apparently, a behind-the-scenes story from Denise Richards. One of the executives was on the fence about casting her, but then he saw her in Starship Troopers, and he's like, yep, that's the one we need.
Oh, all right. I thought you were going to say, what, Basic Instinct? No. She in Basic Instinct? I think she was in Basic Instinct.
It's probably a very old man. He's like, who are you talking about? Oh, and also filmed in the horrible frozen north of Vancouver instead of San Francisco because, you know, they get tax credits for shooting in Canada.
Yeah. I saw two taglines. The main tagline, much worse than the one on the DVD box. Main tagline, love hurts. Man, that's all right. Tagline on the Blu-ray box. Remember the kid everyone ignored on Valentine's Day? He remembers you. I think that's a great tagline.
That's a better one. Apparently, the mask was made of fiberglass, horribly itchy and uncomfortable. And the actor had to do several scenes over again because he would stumble because he couldn't see out of the eye holes of the mask.
The mask did not look...
It looked bad.
It doesn't look bad. It did not look like a good mask
for it didn't look like a killer's mask.
It didn't look like a good mask for a... to be running around and doing killing stunts and stuff in.
Apparently, the magnetic rig that they used for the bow and arrow scene, apparently it kind of malfunctioned and drew the arrow a little bit too far to the left, and so that blunt tip on the arrow left like a big bruise on that lady's chest.
Oh, jeez.
So that was a little mishap during filming.
This movie has one of my favorite things. Spot the actors who weren't available for the full length of filming. In this one, David Boreanaz was only available for 2 weeks. And that would explain a lot why there are just scenes that, like, he has alone with Kate. Or then, like, he'll be in a scene, and then he leaves, and then everyone else arrives.
So there is a 2-hour and 10-minute version of this movie that has never been released.
Okay.
The original cut apparently has a darker tone, more explicit violence and kills, and more backstory for the characters and their time in between the incident and the current day.
Okay, because I did the I went and watched we'll talk about it certainly went later on in our categories. I went and watched the deleted scenes to see if there was like answers to questions I had, and there really weren't. But I was kind of sitting there, I'm like, there are and honestly it left me with more questions than...
There's like from what I've been able to find, 15 to 20 minutes of scenes that were only in the work prints and got thrown away, basically, because the studio executives came in and they were like, no, we need faster pacing, shorter runtime. They said more humor, it's too mean-spirited. And then they made him soften several of the kills. That's why if you notice some of the kills look kind of disjointed, mm-hmm. it's because parts of them are cut out.
So one of the things in the deleted scenes is like the actual gory kills. Because yeah, the gore is real toned down in this one. The best one or worst one, depending on how you look at it, is the detective. It's a like he's like on the rocks. Like instead of a decapitated Spirit Halloween head bobbing up out of a body of a koi fish pond.
Yeah. So for the budget, I had $29 million. Opening weekend, they only made 10, which is not what you want to see, especially with a horror movie released for a topical holiday. Total worldwide was 36. So yeah, with marketing, they did not make their budget
like,
back.
That's the thing. I don't, you know, like granted, I probably wasn't watching a ton of like more adult stuff in 2001, but I don't remember like this existing. Like I certainly don't have any memory of like advertising for this movie, so like I'm not surprised it didn't do well based off me having no memory of this and me having memory of all sorts of weird horror movies that like I don't even remember the names of them today, and sometimes I'll just be sitting at home and I'll be like, what do I think that movie was called, and I'll try to research it.
But yeah, apparently it became profitable on DVD eventually, and that cable rotation helped make it kind of like a cult movie. Originally had a different ending that left it more ambiguous.
I like the ending. I will say that. Well, let's real fast, where to watch. Tubi. You can buy DVD copies. It's available kind of free all over the internet.
Oh, The Mask. It had lenses in it to protect the eyes when they were doing the stunts and the kills because it was all practical. And apparently they fogged up constantly, so it was impossible to see out of the mask.
I can see that, too.
Yeah.
And then Personal Experience. This is one of my wife's favorite horror movies. For me, personally, I hadn't watched it until she'd mentioned it a couple times. I think we even bought it. We bought it on DVD. But like it was one of those where she was constantly trying to find a way to watch it, couldn't find it like streaming. For the longest time, it wasn't available to stream. And we finally bought it last year and finally got around to watching it this year.
Yeah, my only personal experience with it was my brother watched it and then he told me not to bother.
I've got some reviews that pretty much say that.
I believe his exact words were, it was like a slasher movie, but for girls. He was like 13 at the time.
That Jeff, knowing your brother, that sounds like an exact review he would give a movie. All right, well... First, hey, we get custom Red production company logos.
Nice.
That's cool.
I miss that. I miss when they used to do fun production logos.
We get opening credits that are intercut with the pages of a 1988 RFK middle school yearbook.
Ooh. Not that one.
Yeah, you know, not that one. Yeah, you know, the normal one, not the one that is a robot man. We get pictures of girls with things written next to them that are like, I love you and I hate you. And then those are then intercut with scenes of a young nerd named Jeremy Melton asking these different girls to dance and them turning him down at the school Valentine's dance.
Let's talk about this for a second. You do not need to. He asked them perfectly politely if they would like to dance. And they were like incredibly rude for no reason.
Like he asks like the how many girls are there?
Like four or five.
And he asks three of them and they're all like Get out of here, loser.
You're gross. Get out of here, loser.
Fuck you, you fucking loser nerd.
I'd rather fucking die than dance with you, bitch.
Then he asks Kate, and Kate's like, not right now, Jeremy. And he's like, okay, not right now.
See, that would be the proper way to respond to something like that.
And then he goes up and asks Dorothy, who's sitting alone on the bleachers, and she says yes, and then we cut to them kissing underneath the bleachers.
Jay, come on, she's fat as a house, which in a movie terms means she's wearing a baggy sweater, and she's like maybe 5 pounds overweight.
And then a bunch of like asshole like bully kids are like, oh, thick and thin are making out. Oh, String Bean and the Buffalo.
Yeah, which, I mean, that'd be a good radio host name, Jay. String Bean and the Buffalo.
Hey, Buffalo, what are you doing making out? Did String Bean attack you?
Did the pervert attack you?
Did the pervert attack you?
Apparently, he's called the pervert because he asks girls to dance, Jay. What a pervert.
And then he goes... She's like, yeah, he did attack me.
Yeah. Super convincing, by the way, too.
And he's like, what? No. And they dump Kool-Aid on him or like punch on him and then chase him down, rip off his clothes down to his tidy blueies because they weren't white. And then proceed to beat the shit out of him in the middle of the dance floor. Apparently no chaperones are around to stop this.
I guess not.
As kids chant things like fight and pervert. And not a single one of those motherfuckers chants, where's the beef?
Not one.
Have none of these children seen Slaughter High? Would you sexually assault the pervert in your high school? You're supposed to chant, where's the beef?
Yes. I mean, just insatiable perverts, Jay. They want to dance with women. Disgusting.
Title card, Valentine.
And it's just, it's even more unbelievable. They should have done it like more, like they were just getting ready to kiss or something. Because they're like full on making out. She's got her eyes closed and everything. It's like, oh yes, he attacked me.
Right?
We were tongue kissing 5 seconds ago, but he attacked me.
13 years later. Shelly is on a date with... The Jason.
Oh, yes. I like the Jason.
He's a real weird finance bro type who talks about himself in the third person.
The Jason likes you.
When Shelly ends up, ends the date, he does things like dividing the check.
And hey, I mean, if she's leaving the date, Jay, I mean, it's only fair if you pay her
and
half.
Then, when she turns him down for a kiss... And she tells him to get psychological help and leaves. Jason then turns around and sees a woman at the bar and says, Jason likes your dress, and winks at her. Jeff, I really hope Jason and that woman like hit it off and got married.
I hope so, too.
I think she thought like the weird way he talked about himself in the third person was endearing at first and kind of funny. And that she and Jason go on and live a long, happy life together.
Honestly, I hope so, too. And honestly, he dodged a bullet getting away from one of our main protagonists in this movie. So
Shelly goes back to school and apparently works at a morgue on campus.
I guess.
She's going to make a cut in a cadaver, but she covers the corpse's face because she doesn't like it staring at her.
Odd choice of a career if you can't handle the cadaver staring at you. Yeah.
She then hears a noise and goes to investigate, where she gets jump scared by a classmate who's like,
oh my God.
See you tomorrow for class. And then she finds a Valentine card taped to her locker. Apparently they have lockers at this college that says, the journey of love is an arduous trek. My love grows for you as you bleed from your neck. And it's got this really cool, like, pull tab, like pop-up pull tab. And when you pull it down, like, the blood is visible on the neck. Cool looking.
The Valentines are great in this. I just want to note now, because of the fake-out jump scare and everything that's already happened, if this had been made today, I would have said, somebody just put, make me a Valentine's Day version of Scream into ChatGPT. But it was too early for that. Which means somebody actually wrote this, Jay.
Shelly goes back to the cadaver and is about to make her incision when it like exhales or inhales. So she stumbles backwards and the actual cadaver falls out of a closet behind her. And when she turns back around, the person who was on the gurney was gone. That means that the person who was on the gurney, who we're going to assume is Jeremy the killer based off of what we know so far, mm-hmm. was naked on the slab mm-hmm. or was still wearing his tidy blueies. Either way, fucking pervert. Turns out they were right, Jeff. He's just getting naked.
He's such a pervert, Jay. And she didn't notice somehow.
in like the 30 seconds, she goes to leave, but someone like grabs her through a curtain and she stabs them with a scalpel and runs into the hall. When the killer walks out, they're dressed in all black, wearing one of the Cupid masks that you saw at the dance, and carrying a knife. Man, he got dressed real fast.
Really? You know, honestly, and he got stabbed in the leg, and that never comes back into play either. I mean, getting stabbed with a scalpel is no joke. That'll go, like, right through all your muscle.
Shelly runs to the elevator and presses the button, and of course, it immediately doesn't arrive, so she has to keep running.
Of course. Well, I mean, come on, Jay. We're in a slasher now.
So she runs into a room, and it's a room full of body bags. The killer then walks in and can't find her, so starts stabbing each body bag.
See, this is very Ghostface, and when I was watching this, I'm like, I could see why Andrea likes this, because it's Scream.
Gets to the last one, unzips it, and Shelly is in there. She screams and then gets her throat slit, which is what the card said would happen. And then when that happens, the killer's nose bleeds. Also, when Jeremy was getting beat up, his nose bled. I forgot to mention that part.
See, I was hoping it was going to be like a... Because I was like, yeah, he did. His nose did bleed when he was getting beat up, but I was hoping it was like a Master Roshi pervert nosebleed like he gets.
I mean, maybe it... Jeff, maybe it is. Maybe this is what turns him on.
I mean, so turned on.
Turned on by all this murder. cut to Paige and Kate... going speed dating. Kate has recently broken it off with her longtime boyfriend, Adam, because he's an alcoholic. We see a bunch of weird guys, dude obsessed with the 49ers, guy obsessed with the Bible, a guy who is very coded like me. He's umming and aahing and has trouble talking to girls. So, producers and writers of Valentine, you'll be hearing from our lawyer. I did not approve my image being used in this movie.
Not a single fat guy, by the way, I will note, even among the losers.
Jeff, this is Hollywood. I bet like the guy who was a 49ers fan was considered is Hollywood fat.
Oh, is he okay, he's a fat guy.
Yeah, he's
okay.
He's Hollywood fat.
Oh, okay.
Jeff, they don't cast people like us in their movies.
I mean, they should start.
Closest we got is like John Goodman and Josh Gad.
I was gonna say, being afraid of me, like at a speed dating thing, if I was hitting on Denise Richards, I could see her being weirded out by that. But like a regular guy, it's like, what's the problem?
They leave speed dating, and Dorothy calls to let them know that Shelley has died. How convenient.
You know, it happens that way, Jay.
My favorite one is, it will be here in a minute at the funeral. I think literally one of the girls goes, "Do you see the police officers are here asking about like the murder?" And then immediately the police officer walks up to talk to them.
Jay, hold on. I'm getting a call. The plot's advancing in the next scene, Jay. We need to move to the next scene.
At the funeral, Kate and Adam talk about their relationship and where they are at. Adam mentions that he stopped drinking for her and tries to get her to go to dinner. Adam then leaves, and then all the girls, the rest of the girls appear. And, you know, like I said, you know, see who was available for the majority of shooting.
Also, this is Adam's first evil stare, which I know he does quite often, Jay.
Unrelated. the girls talk, and then one of them says, like, "Do you see the police are here asking questions?" Immediately, Detective Vaughn walks up and asks a few questions.
What? And you know what, Jay? These girls don't even know what the hell they're talking about. You could tell this already. This guy is giving off big pervert energy immediately. Yep. Especially the way that he's eye-fucking Denise Richards from the very beginning.
Right.
Nobody calls him out on being a pervert. But oh, if he had walked up and been like, "Would your ladies like to dance?" Pervert, get out of here, freak.
Vaughn mentions that Jason Marquette, who was last seen with... what's her name? Shelly,
yeah.
is also missing. R.I.P. Jason, I guess, because he's missing
Jason.
Too.
Poor Jason.
Turns out he's not missing, so not R.I.P. Jason. Dorothy arrives at her dad's mansion and finds a Valentine's card. "Roses are red, violets are blue. They'll need dental records to identify you." Signed J.M. Probably for Jekyll Maxon, Jekyll Morden,
Jason Mraz.
I knew it. Dorothy's shitty boyfriend Campbell arrives.
Oh God!
And just like so many good slasher movies, Jeff, we've got a real who's who of people I want to see get murdered.
I don't honestly. Almost everybody in this movie, I think, deserves to get murdered. It's a real Thanksgiving situation.
It really is. I had that exact same thought. I'm like, man, I hate just about every single person in this movie. I want them all to get killed. At Kate's apartment, she's in the shower when she hears a noise of someone messing around in her apartment. She then turns the shower off. And then immediately, like, can't find anyone, so goes to turn it back on. Her water's not working, so she has to rinse her hair out in the toilet.
I don't know
what the point of this scene was.
I don't understand what's wrong with the water either. It's like, is it implied that the Cupid killer is sabotaging the water?
Because there will be another thing involving water later on.
It's like, I don't understand how he cut off her water, but whatever.
The Cupid killer has water powers.
Apparently.
He's a
waterbender.
Has limited water-based powers. Or limited plumbing-based powers. I don't know.
That'd be more funny. Only plumbing.
He's part of the whatever the plumber's union is.
I'm part of Local 37.
She then finishes washing her hair in the toilet, walks back out into her like apartment, and sees that the front door to her apartment's just wide open.
Yeah, as you know, who cares, Jay? Who cares?
So she walks down the and you hear like the ding of the elevator. So she walks to the elevator to find one of those creepy Cupid masks like stuck in the elevator door. She picks it up, and we're immediately introduced to her creepy neighbor Gary, who talks like this. Hey, Kate. Do you want to go on a date, Kate? You could be my mate, Kate.
The rhymer.
Yeah.
Also.
And then she's like, you're scary, Gary.
Doesn't call him out on being a pervert either.
Yeah. Well, Kate never called anyone a pervert.
But, I mean, these guys, they should be calling perverts. Agreed. <Jay.
laughs> At Lily and Paige's apartment, Lily is video dating.
Oh, my God.
Where they make fun of a guy for being short and liking board games and kayaking.
Well, and that's the thing is he's not even short. He just said he's 6 foot-ish, which means he's probably like 5'10". It's like, oh, my God, 5'10". Yes, and these women are like 5'4", max. It's like, what difference does it make to you?
I mean, these aren't good people.
They're not. I think if this movie gets across anything is that the Cupid killer should have killed more people.
Lily's doorbell rings, and there is a heart-shaped box of chocolates with another letter attached. Lily reads the letter. 'Tis a well-known fact. Beauty is skin deep. Savor the taste. You are what you eat. Love, J.M. And then Lily takes a bite of the chocolate, and it's filled with maggots.
Wait a minute. J.M. J.M. J.M.
It's me.
I knew it.
It was me the whole time. The Paige and Lily set to trying to figure out who JM is because, Paige has dated a lot of guys.
You've been through more of the alphabet than I have.
That's a great line. I really enjoyed that.
I like that one.
But so they're trying. And then Paige like mentions Jeremy, and then they both dismiss it because no one knows what happened to that pervert.
And it's like, really, that wasn't your first thought, honestly. It's like you guys don't remember bullying this guy. That makes it even worse.
My favorite is that half the girls, don't even remember him.
That makes it so much worse. At least, you know, if they could look back on it and be like, oh, yeah, we were really mean to that guy.
Paige does admit that they were horrible to him. She's one of the only ones who does.
The only one who acknowledges that, I think, yeah.
All the girls then meet up at Max, who's Lily's boyfriend, at his art show.
And is this before or after we find out that they got him sent to reform school?
I think that's a little later.
For lying about it.
That's a little later. I think they maybe see the Jason at the art show.
Yes, I think the Jason is at the art show.
Which, once again, like, is that a thing that got cut? If so, then why leave it? Like, if like the Jason was supposed to keep showing up at things they were at.
Because they were trying to make it more ambiguous, I'm guessing, in the original cut. And also that weird scene where the woman's coming to watch the guy make out, the artist making out with somebody else. It's like, where did that come from? What was that related to?
Yeah, I don't know. We're getting there. The art show is like this weird maze where
it's a real San Francisco art show, Jay, where it's just a guy making stupid videos and he's like, look at my art.
It's like, yeah, it's different, like videos of basically like men and women talking. I think it's like spliced up dating video footage and stuff like that. But it's like eyes and mouths, and like you'll get like a mouth that's just like repeating like, I love you. I love you and stuff like that, or like eyes that are like darting in one direction. You get like naked bodies, but anyway, guys are supposed to go in one side, girls are supposed to go in the other, or something like that. I don't know. And then
I did appreciate they call it out as horrible later.
Yep,
horrible art.
Lily also mentions at one point that she has a flight to catch. She then we cut to her making out with Max in the maze. This is then the weird thing where a girl comes out and maybe Max was trying to initiate a three-way. Well, I don't know. It
seemed like she was just like going to watch them or whatever. But then she walks off immediately.
Then Lily leaves, gets lost in the maze as lights start cutting out. And then she turns around at a dead end and gets hit in the stomach with an arrow. We see the Cupid killer kind of standing there, nose bleeds, fires another arrow. She stumbles backwards through the screen and immediately out an emergency exit that was right behind that screen. Convenient. Then gets shot with a third arrow, falls over the balcony in this like exit staircase and falls like into the dumpster at the bottom of the stairs.
Yes, as much as I enjoyed the falling into the dumpster thing, falling out the emergency exit is like, yeah, that it was pretty convenient.
that was just those exact things.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it feels very D&D rule of cool. Yes, like, is it a cool thing to happen? Yes. Yes,
but it's like, yeah, it's like for him to set that up, it would be impossible for him to know where she would run and stuff ahead of time. But I mean, we're deep in slasher now, Jay. People don't use logic.
Dorothy's shitty boyfriend Campbell is confronted by a woman claiming that he stole money from her. We will learn later on that her name is Ruthie.
I thought you were building an internet business.
Adam and Kate meet up at a bar and she tells him about all the weird stuff and the creepy guy, and her underwear is apparently being missing.
Also, why would you meet a guy you know is struggling with alcoholism at a bar?
Well, Jeff, it's convenient you mentioned that. Because he orders a club soda.
Because
he's trying to prove that he can change.
And so that tells me that it was her idea to meet at a bar. And it's like, why would you do that to an alcoholic? And yeah, meet me at the bar. I'm going to order a drink. But she changes her order at least afterwards.
Detective Vaughn interviews the remaining girls. And they say Lily is out of town. As you know, so no one needs to account for the fact that she's missing.
And I mean, can we at least do a little bit of basic police work and maybe check that Lily actually got where she was going?
No, Vaughn's too busy eye-fucking Paige.
Yeah.
He shows them a letter sent to Shelley's parents that says, too bad, so sad, from Jeremy Melton. Vaughn says his two suspects are Jeremy and Jason, and then they talk about how Jeremy was sent to reform school after the incident. And then outside, Dorothy admits that she lied about the whole situation because she's a real piece of shit.
Oh, my God. That's just that right there. I was like, OK, well, then fuck you people. You know,
if I don't know, for me, it's like if that wasn't enough to potentially break off a relationship with a friend over like, oh, you ruined that kid's life. Like, yeah we were mean to him.
Yes.
You ruined his life.
Yes. None of you were good. But yes, Dorothy, like actually ruining his life, I think is I don't know. But whatever. These are the heroes of the movie, Jay.
Kate does some research about Jeremy, but nothing turns up really. And she goes to dinner with Adam, who she tells about all of this stuff.
Oh, gee. He doesn't look evilly at all, Jay.
No, never once. I don't know. Jeff, I don't know why you keep bringing this up. Later, Vaughn talks to the girls that Jeremy was put in a mental facility after reform school and that his parents died mysteriously in a fire and no one's heard from him since and there are no records of him.
Oh, GJ, if this was some kind of slasher movie, I would think maybe he murdered his parents and now he's on the lam as a psycho, but that couldn't possibly be it.
Jeff, what I think he did was he probably took some underwear and put it in a gas tank and then lit it on fire.
No, You know what I think he was doing, Jay, is he had a set of bleachers installed in his house, and he was making out with a hand puppet of Dorothy underneath them, and then his dad threw gasoline on him and lit the house on fire, because he was such a disgusting pervert.
Fucking pervert. Okay, I was going to bring it up later. So, Jeff, there is one of the deleted scenes, is a scene of Jeremy's mom and dad fucking. And Jeremy walks in, he's like, Mom, can I get a ride to the Valentine's dance? And then his dad's immediately like, get out of here, pervert.
Your son.
He says it to his own son.
He just walked in on you, didn't know what you were doing. Not like he was peeping through the door or anything. Yeah, you fucking pervert. Well, you know, I can see why this kid went crazy, Jay.
Right?
Honestly, it's not that big of a surprise.
That felt like the most 80s scene of the whole movie. It was like, it also didn't help that it was shot in a different way, because it's like a deleted scene. But it literally, that feels like a thing straight out of Slaughter High. Like,
get out of here, pervert. Damn son. I also love how parents can never lock a door in a movie.
Vaughn gets a rundown of all the girls' boyfriends so he can look into them. Also, Detective Vaughn comes on to Paige, which, you know, I don't know, is very unprofessional behavior for a checks notes, never mind, he's a cop.
I was gonna say, Jay, he's a San Francisco detective in the early 2000s.
Honestly, Paige is lucky he didn't do worse.
I was going to say, I mean, I'm sure he's done worse than this.
Yeah, fucking.
But I mean, that's the thing, is I do not get Paige's character, because he is very clearly flirting with her, eyeing her up the entire time. The other girls acknowledge that he's flirting with her, eyeing her up. She's doing it back to him or whatever, returning his long stares and things. And then she acts surprised when he makes a move on her afterwards.
Meanwhile, in Kate's apartment, creepy Gary is trying on her underwear. And then the Cupid killer walks in and bludgeons him to death with an iron.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know, Jay, you know what would be appropriate if you saw a strange man who talks in rhymes from across the hall trying on your underwear? That's a pervert.
That's a pervert right there.
Yeah. But of course, there's no one around to call this guy a pervert.
That's the thing. The killer should have been like, fucking pervert.
Exactly.
Outside, Kate arrives and Adam is ringing her doorbell. Convenient. Yeah.
Crazy.
But not at all suspicious.
No.
She gives him a Valentine IOU and says they will meet at Dorothy's party tonight. Kate then goes inside where Paige is already in her apartment. Vaughn calls and says they picked up Jason, so everyone lets their guard down. Oh,
thank God. Yeah, because the Jason, Jay, was clearly the killer. He was clearly a mastermind.
Right, he does talk. Jeff, maybe he is a freak. He does talk about himself in the third person.
I mean, if the killer had been talking about himself in the third person and all these notes and things, I think I would...
The Cupid killer is gonna kill you.
Or if he'd signed it the JM. Yeah.
At Dorothy's, she gives Shitty Campbell a Valentine present, which is like a watch. They kiss, and then the camera cuts to them in bed, where it turns out that Shitty Campbell is not only shitty at being a boyfriend, he's also shitty at sex.
Now, see, this is what I wasn't sure at first. It's like, did he come too quick? Is that the problem, or could he not get it up?
So, it seems like a couldn't get it up situation.
But in my head, he's
so bad at sex that he just came immediately.
That's what I was wondering, because she goes to take a shower afterwards. So I thought maybe, you know, he was like a two-pump chump or something.
I was going to say a light breeze came into the room. Yes,
because she's been building it up in her mind. I'm sure she wanted it to go much longer. And then he's just like, I'm done.
He's just...
I mean,
she's like, we just took our clothes off. He's like, well, I'm done.
Maybe he's not used to it, because it seems like she's a little younger than the rich ladies he typically scams. So maybe he wasn't prepared for this development.
He gives her a necklace with a little Cupid on it. And he says he has a meeting, so he will miss like the first hour of the party. But before he goes to his meeting, he's going to the pool to work out. It's a very weirdly constructed scene.
It makes no sense. It wouldn't be believable to anybody. And he also, what's it he says? I have to get a workout in before my meeting. It's like, what?
Also, like, he says, like, it's my turn. Like, he's going to get this because she goes to take a shower. He then interrupts her shower. He's like, it's my turn. And then goes to take a workout. Never once goes to take a shower.
Nope.
At the pool, Shitty Campbell is trying to get money transferred from one of Dorothy's dad's bank accounts to one of his, but the bank doesn't believe him.
Don't tell me when I was born.
Dorothy then calls him over the intercom to tell him that the hot water is out, so he complains, but he goes to check on the hot water heater, and we see the Cupid Killer in the background.
Great. I'm part of the fucking staff now.
Shitty Campbell tries to get the hot water heater working, and in the background we see an axe, and then like it cuts away, and then when it cuts back the axe is missing, and then he stands up and he gets axed in the back.
Oh boy.
Thank God. Fucking so glad Shitty Campbell's dead.
I don't know, Jay. He might have been over his refractory period, ready to go again.
Later that night at the party, Dorothy is sad that Shitty Campbell isn't there. She doesn't know that he's dead. Paige is supposed to meet up with Brian from speed dating. And Kate and Adam meet up and briefly talk. Kate and Brian dance and kiss, and he says he has a surprise for her upstairs. And then the writing here gets really weird because he takes his pants off and she's like offended that he took his pants off.
Which I want to point out, they were slow dancing together and making out.
She
on
was
the
like
dance
grinding
floor.
On him.
And yes, she was very clearly initiating some kind of sexual thing. And then he's like, I've got a surprise to show you upstairs. And it's like, anybody with half a functioning brain would know, okay, he wants to go upstairs and have sex.
No, like, she acts surprised that he wants to have sex with her, or, like, offended that that's
yes,
a thing.
That's what he's wanting.
And, like, no, sure, is she allowed to be like, you know what, I'm not interested? Yes, like, I mean, absolutely. But it that's not what happens. Like, yes. she doesn't, there's no, like, indication she changed her mind.
And she still acts very weird with him afterwards. She acts offended that he wants to have sex with her. Then she acts like she's tying him to the bed for a sex thing and kisses him a couple times and, like, straddles him.
And then dumps hot wax on his dick. Because he kept talking about how he wanted her to wax him off. That's at least a very funny thing to do.
Yes. He says wax it, I think, when he drops his pants. Yeah.
Which is...
And then I'm guessing the only reason he said that was to set up the candle thing.
I assume so. Because no one refers to it as waxing.
By the way, note for women in the audience, all one of you probably. I don't know. We have more listeners on Apple. But it could be women, Jay. Maybe not after this one, but tying a guy up, blindfolding him, and then dumping hot wax on his dick and balls is not something that's liable to get you another date.
Also, probably might get you sued. That might be...
Or charged with some kind of sexual assault or something like that.
Like, that seems...
Especially not untying him afterwards and then leaving the room.
It just seems so... Like, it... Because, like, the whole movie, like, you've got all the stereotypes. You've got Dorothy, the fat one.
Yeah.
You've got Kate, who's, like, the good girl.
The nice girl,
You've got, like, Lily, who's kind of, like, the silly free spirit hippie one. Mm-hmm. You've got whatever.
Paige is the slutty
one.
And
then, Paige is, like, the slutty one. And they, because I was talking to my wife about this. I was, like. It's so weirdly written. It's so like this scene just feels so out of place. It was like they just they had this idea and they wanted to do it, but it doesn't fit in character with what we've seen from Paige's character. And my wife was like, "Well, maybe all the times that they're like joking, like when they're talking about like, oh, Paige gets around and blah blah blah, maybe that they're all joking. Like maybe, you know, you've got the one friend who's a virgin in high school, and you're like, oh, Dave, he gets all the ladies.
We know that that's not true, though, because the only reason she's in this situation to wax this guy in the first place is because she interrupts her friend's date to hit on this guy.
Oh, no, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is like, it just feels so out of place, even for just her character. Like, it just feels like someone had a neat idea for this scene, and then... didn't do it, and they just went, yeah, we're just gonna put it in the movie.
Honestly, I think this could have worked better with one of the other girls.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, anybody but Paige, pretty much.
No, that 100%. If it was a different character than Paige, or if there was some indication that Paige actually has never slept with anybody,
or that she wasn't attracted to this guy for some reason, but there's none of that.
Yeah, none of this goes on. Anyway, the lady from earlier, who we learn is named Ruthie, shows up at the party and basically tells Dorothy that Shitty Campbell is shitty and stole from her, including the necklace that he gave Dorothy. Paige goes to the hot tub, and Ruthie rummages through Shitty Campbell's stuff and steals the watch that Dorothy gave him. Kate talks to Max, Lily's now ex, who tells her that Lily never showed up in L.A.
Oh.
Ruthie goes to leave, and out of a door walks the Cupid Killer dragging the maid's body. And Ruthie then runs, and the killer gives chase. Ruthie hides in a sauna and finds Shitty Campbell's shitty dead body inside. She thinks the coast is clear and tries to leave, but the killer jumps out and throws her through like a glass shower door and then impales her neck on the glass shards. Really cool and gory scene. Could be a lot gorier.
Yeah. Oh, I think we missed another one of the tropes, Jay, because this is like all the tropes in one movie. Dorothy says Shitty Campbell is shitty, therefore all men are shitty. You know, the typical date movie thing. Men are disgusting animals. I wish I could find a man.
I mean, we are. Jeff, our listeners have seen what we look like.
I mean, I am. Men in general. I mean, there are some respectable men out there, Jay. I never said I was one of them.
True, that's fair. Also, Ruthie didn't need to die. She also hated Shitty Campbell.
I don't understand that either. But, I mean, at this point, I'm feeling like this must have been the part of the movie with the most stuff cut out of it, because it makes the least sense.
And especially, also hated Dorothy. Like, you would think the Cupid killer is at the party, probably saw her confront Dorothy. Like, maybe the Cupid killer would be like, you know what, Ruthie, you're good with me. I would have preferred her turn to see the killer dragging the maid out, and she just goes, all right, see you later, just walks away.
I mean, that would have been cool.
I would have liked that so much better. Although the kill is pretty good. Detective Campbell calls Kate and tells her that they didn't have enough evidence to hold the Jason. And that
that's what we need to be worried about.
And that Detective Vaughn is on her way. Kate also finds Adam drinking and storms off. Paige is in the hot tub, and we see like the killer walk in the room behind her.
I want to pause here for a second. Maybe if you have a guy you're in love with who you know has trouble with alcohol, maybe don't invite him to a big drinking party.
You would think, yeah.
Maybe we could go do something ourselves for Valentine's Day,
or take him to a bar. Like, yeah. Really.
But you know, no, it's his fault, Jay. It's all his fault.
And we see the killer kind of walking behind her. She hears the door close, so she turns around. But when she turns around, there's no one there. She then turns back around and finds like a rose on the side of the hot tub. So she gets out of the hot tub and walks around trying to figure out who left it there, thinking that it was Brian.
Does someone want to be my Valentine?
Yeah,
several people have.
Out jumps the Cupid killer, who throws her in the tub and then closes like the glass cased cover to the hot tub, which is a cool looking cover. And his nose bleeds, and he grabs an electric drill and starts drilling it into the tub, at one point stabbing her in the arm.
I wish this would have been a good point for her, because they pretty much know, they suspect who it is or whatever. This would have been a good point for her to like apologize, since she was the only one that felt sorry about it. Be like, you know, I'm sorry for what we did to you or whatever.
Right.
You know, what Dorothy did to you was terrible or something like that.
I mean, that's the way I would have phrased it. He then opens the lid and tosses the drill into the tub, which electrocutes Paige and also shorts out the lights in the entire mansion.
Well, I wish I could say I was sad about the death, but I'm like, whatever.
So the party's over. Dorothy says that she thinks Adam's the killer. I have no idea where she's getting that from. And Kate says, well, what if it's Shitty Campbell? And then they fight about Dorothy thinking that no one likes her because she's the fat one, and Dorothy runs off.
That, again, this shit is like, it's maddening to me, Jay. You're watching a regular sized woman, perfectly average, who was the same when they're doing the quote unquote fat scenes, be like, you guys just don't like me because I'm fat. No, that's literally never come up.
It's Hollywood for you.
It's never come up once.
It's the same thing where, like, it's clearly, like, the most beautiful actress you've ever seen, but because her hair's up and she's wearing glasses.
Oh, we'll talk.
And wearing, like, a frumpy sweater.
We're going to talk about that in the stocking stuffer, Jay. We got another instance of that.
Oh, agreed. Kate calls Vaughn, but as the phone's ringing, she hears his phone ringing somewhere on the property.
Oh boy, this one.
This is the thing I mentioned earlier, where she follows it down to a koi pond, where she sees the Valentine's IOU in the water that she left to Adam, and underneath it is Detective Vaughn's decapitated head, but it looks like a Spirit Halloween prop.
Yeah, yeah, it's not great.
But I in the deleted scene, because the deleted scene had all of the like full gore kills, so a lot of the kills do look a lot better. Yes,
before they were censored by the studio.
But like this one, he's not decapitated. Instead, like his body's like been like bashed into the rocks. It looks really cool. She runs through the now empty house and runs into Adam, who's drunk as a skunk, and he's acting all weird and like ominous, and he's like lit in shadows with lots of whites and pinks and reds. Adam asks her to dance with him, and she does briefly, and he tries to apologize and tell her that he's sorry, and she knees him in the dick and runs off.
Also completely flips her script from earlier, because she was like, you just don't care about me because you're an alcoholic. And then she's like, you had a few drinks, it's not the end of the world. I'm like, wait a minute, is it or is it not the end of the world?
We now get the classic run through the house.
Oh my God.
As yes. Kate proceeds to discover all the dead bodies, and she's being chased by Adam. She finds a gun and walks back through a door when the killer jumps out and tackles her.
Another quick costume change.
They both like fall down a flight of stairs, and then you get the classic Kate sits up and she thinks the killer's down, and then the killer sits up, but the gun goes off and shoots the killer a bunch of times. And there's Adam standing there. They take the mask off the killer to reveal that it was Dorothy the whole time.
Except that doesn't make any sense at all, but we'll get to that.
Jeff, it makes perfect sense. She hated everyone, and
she hated everyone, but she also was with people when people were being killed.
Adam calls the cops, and he and Kate talk about how she can't believe that it was Dorothy, and Adam hugs her and says, someone that sad and lonely is really good at hiding it, but inside, it never dies. Weird thing to say. Kate then says she loves him, and Adam says he's always loved her, which is also a weird thing to say, but I assume everything's fine.
Why'd you phrase it like that, Jay?
They hug, and then they do the slow pan up of their hug, and it holds on Kate's face, and then you watch some blood trickle onto her forehead, and the camera pans up, and David Boreanaz, Adam, has a bloody nose. He was Jeremy the whole time.
Oh my God, it wasn't obvious at all, Jay.
End of movie.
Well, that was a thing that happened, Jay.
Conversation hearts, favorite quotes.
Well,
all three of the Valentine's cards are great.
I was going to say, I love the Valentine's cards. Those are memorable. What was the... Oh, God. Hold on a second. Let me look at my list.
The Jason, muy expensivo, when he sees the check for the date. The Jason, look, this hard to get shit doesn't play with Jason. And then Shelley goes, you know, Jason, I'm not a doctor yet, but in my expert opinion, seek psychiatric help soon. She walks away. And then Jason goes, says you. Classic the Jason.
Oh, yeah. What are we going to do about this, Jay? This sexual tension between
us. So weird.
I was like, why'd you have to say it like that?
Weird Detective Vaughn. It's just dinner, Adam. And then Kate goes, Adam, the last time we had dinner, we ended up in a hotel in Lake Tahoe for 3 days. And then Adam goes, oh yeah, that.
I'm into board games and kayak. Next. You're done.
Kate. And yesterday I noticed that my underwear was missing. Adam. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that. That was me. I like to try them on, you know. Makes me feel free. I tap into my, you know, feminine side. Which, as I was watching it, I went, what if Adam was actually the underwear pervert? What if he was actually telling the truth? We later learned that it's creepy Gary. But what if Adam was the actual underwear pervert?
Do you ever think maybe high school stuff follows you forever?
No. No, not at all.
No, it doesn't.
There's not a chance that weird bully or that weird kid that we bullied Jeremy. Also, wouldn't he go kill the dudes who like...
I mean, maybe he already did. Who knows? Nobody cares enough to follow them.
I think also a change I would have made is I would have had a bunch of their boyfriends be those guys. Mm-hmm. Like have it be a real Thanksgiving where like all the people who did the tormenting are the people who are getting targeted.
Yeah.
My last one. Do you have so when they're at like the police station and Detective Vaughn like pulls up like Jeremy's like yearbook photo and he's like, this is the only photo we had, so we had to digitally enhance it, like, or digitally age it up. Mm-hmm. And then Kate goes, do you have any more recent photos of him? And Detective Vaughn goes, if I did, we'd be looking at them. I just thought it was such a funny line. After he explains why they're doing it, she then goes, but do you have any more recent ones?
Campbell and Dorothy in bed after the failed sex. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm going to take a shower.
Any others?
I had, when he throws open the shower curtain, my turn, and then proceeds not to take a shower.
It's so weird.
Just the weird, some of the weird dialogue in this movie really gets me.
Because, like, you know, also, like, that's when he gives her the necklace. Is he goes, my turn, and then he, so, like, you could have, like, yes, the, like, my, oh, it's my turn to give you a present, but the way it's presented is, get out of the shower, it's my turn to take a shower.
Yes.
And then he doesn't. And
also, she doesn't find it weird that he didn't have a present for her 20 minutes ago, but now he does.
Right.
Also weird. The way they reveal that they've completely ruined the kid they bullied's life, where she's just casually like, he did attack you, right, Dorothy? No. No, he didn't. She doesn't say it like with any kind of sad tone or anything. She's like, a matter of factly, nah, he didn't. We ruined his life for nothing. Anyway, I'm fat. Oh, yes, they were.
Yeah, because you all hate me because I'm fat.
They're trying to be sensitive to her, by the way, and she just totally ignores it. They're like, you were bigger. Yeah, you were big boned or whatever when we were kids. No, I was fat, and you all hate me for it.
You all hate me because I'm fat.
God, I'm glad I'm not that kind of fat guy, Jay, where I'm constantly butthurt about everybody saying I'm fat.
Valentine's decorations, set costumes, etc. I think the killer design's kind of neat. I think it's
I like the design up to a certain point. I think in some cases the mask looks kind of ridiculous for what he's trying to do, where it's like you can clearly tell he's having a hard time seeing out of this mask.
I think
whatever.
You can kind of see like the line, even if like Eli Roth didn't use this as inspiration, you can see the line from this to John Carver.
Yes.
Fuck you, Eli Roth. We need Thanksgiving too.
I thought the dance was pretty well done. Looked very high school dance,
because
usually in movies like this, it looks way too high production value to be a high school dance.
Agreed.
I thought this had the right level of crappy decorations.
I love the way this is shot. I love all the like the unique sets. As weird as the maze thing is,
yes, it's a good
like,
set.
That's neat. I love them. I like all the big set piece moments all look really cool.
I like the women's apartments. They were nice because they had like a range. A couple of them had nicer apartments. A couple of them had like slobby, cheap apartments.
Yeah, because they're all like, they're all.
It's not like, you know, whatever.
The friend's apartment.
The friend's apartments that would cost you $5,000 a month in New York or whatever. And none of them, seemingly none of them have jobs.
Certainly don't. I don't know, Monica's a chef or
something.
She's a something.
She does something. She's like Barney. She works at the business factory signing forms.
Valentine's Spirit. How Valentine-y is the movie? How Valentine-y are the kills?
I mean, pretty damn Valentine-y, I will say.
I think for both. I think both are pretty high.
Themed kills, definitely. Especially the bow and arrow kill. Gotta love that.
A Cupid killer killing someone with a bow and arrow.
Yes.
Chef's kiss. But I think like tons of, especially like Dorothy's big party at the end.
Yes.
Feels very Valentine's-y. Yes. Like you just said, the Valentine's high school dance feels like like decorated for a Valentine's dance.
Yes.
That feels real.
I thought the set design, camera work was great. The effects pretty good. I liked them all.
And even when like it's Valentine's Day, like they're talking about, even when it's not kill related stuff, they're constantly talking about how we need to find a date because it's Valentine's Day or Valentine's Day is coming up. Like, or, you know, they're going speed dating to find it. Everything kind of relates to the whole idea of
Valentine's Day
being a date
is actually important to the plot, which some other Valentine's movies I could name. It's not important at all. Jay's wearing a My Bloody Valentine shirt.
Jeff, those people killed that man in that mine because of
Valentine's Day.
They were all too busy dancing and no one cared to save the Hanniger mine.
You're right, Jay, whatever. You're right. Yeah.
Still a great movie.
I mean, yes, it's a great movie, but Valentine's Day has little to nothing to do with it.
All right. Wilted rose, one thing you want to fix, and a dozen roses, one thing you want to praise.
Let's see. What should we... I'm guessing you want me to go first.
I can go first if you want me to.
I mean, I'm ready if you want. It's up to you.
I'll do my fix and then you can go.
Okay.
My fix is the weird things we've kind of mentioned throughout. And things that like I don't think I noticed right away until like or like when I was going back through watching this again. The weirdness with Paige's character. How did Shitty Campbell get access to like Dorothy's dad's bank account? There's a whole like subplot with Dorothy's dad dating a girl younger than Dorothy.
Yes,
that goes nowhere.
Well, he's married to her. She's like, yeah, a mail order bride, and yeah, she's only in the one scene.
Yeah, like I thought there would be more
and
with that.
They're trying to make it seem like there's tension because he's like, you know, you need to be nicer to my wife or whatever.
But then also maybe the wife wants to hook up with Shitty Campbell,
and then you never see. Yeah, that's it. It's a plot. Dorothy's basically implying that her stepmom grabs all the men she brings home,
right?
And she can't sleep with any of them.
But like, there's nothing with that, and so it my
never comes up again.
My thought was like, okay, there's deleted scenes on this Blu-ray. I'm going to watch the deleted scenes. And Jeff, those deleted scenes left me with more questions than answers.
That's wonderful when that happens.
Like I said, there's the weird scene where Jeremy goes to ask his mom for a ride to the dance and his dad goes, "Get the fuck out of here, pervert."
Fucking pervert.
I'm trying to fuck your mom. But there's also a scene where they introduce a tech bro character,
mm-hmm,
who then they're all drinking and having fun, and then Kate's like, oh, tech bro blah 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 is gonna be at this party, oh, I need to be there, I have to get an interview with him, and then she goes and meets him and he just pukes and that's the entire scene. What was this supposed to be? What part of the plot was the tech bro supposed to be in?
Who knows, Jay? And that was my wilted rose was consistency in writing. This movie needs some. The characters are written unevenly for a lot of things. Like, you're supposed to be sympathetic to them, but then they also treat everybody around them like total disposable props in their life. There are plot lines that go absolutely nowhere, like Jay just discussed. Like, the stepmom thing really stood out to me because it's literally one scene, never gets brought up again. No bearing on the plot at all. There's the weird, oh, yes, I interview people. That's my job, apparently. And then, yeah, throws up, nothing ever comes of that. The art installation is basically just an excuse to set up the bow and arrow kill. Nothing actually happens there of importance. The speed dating thing is just to set up Denise Richards' weird arc with this guy for later.
Which, yeah, just didn't need to happen at all.
It was weird, didn't fit with her character. I mean, there's the scene where I don't even understand why they were brought to the police station. None of them know anything that could help.
Detective Vaughn just, other than I think that it's supposed to be kind of a police procedural whodunit.
Yeah.
No, like he just keeps showing up for no reason.
Yes, like they have way, way more police interaction than you would have in any kind of investigation like this. And then they flip-flop back and forth because it seems like at some points they're concerned. It's like, oh, it's the kid we bullied in high school. You know, it's got to be him. And then they'll flip-flop back. It's like, oh, well, it must have been the Jason. But the Jason is in custody, so we're safe now, guys.
Oh, but it what if it's your boyfriend, Adam? Well, what if it's your boyfriend, Shitty Campbell?
What if it's your boyfriend, Campbell? Yeah. They just keep flip-flopping back and forth. They don't act like it's serious most of the movie. They act like it's just kind of like a game that they're playing. Like, oh, you know, our friends keep dropping dead, Jay, but everything should be fine.
Nah, none of us need to be worried about it.
I mean, and, you know, you would think, like, the thing with Lily, the cops never check that she was actually where, they just trust her friend's word. Oh, yes, she went out of town. Yeah, well, I guess we'll check that off the list then. No need to investigate Lily any further. It's like, if one of the girls was the killer, they would have easily been able to get away with it.
Right.
I mean, you know what would have been a real great twist? Have Denise Richards be the killer.
With the wax thing that feels so out of nowhere. And like,
and it feels very serial killery.
Yeah. Like, that was my exact thought. I'm like, could you have done the thing where Denise Richards is the killer?
Like, yes. It's like Paige would have fit perfectly because she's not around at some key moments. She acts very weird and uneven, especially when it comes to sex. She's got like some weird hang-ups or whatever, even though she's flirting and wants sex constantly, you know, like a pervert.
It's constantly implied. No, like I said, it's implied that she's constantly sleeping around, but then for whatever reason doesn't.
The two times we see men advance on her, she acts like offended.
Which, like, she's allowed to be offended, but she's flirting with it. It's so but weird.
It's not so strange. It's not consistent writing for her character. Like, people who are perverts who are constantly soliciting sex don't get offered sex and then be like, ew, gross. Especially not with a guy that they're openly flirting with and interested in.
Yeah, like, I get her turning down Detective Vaughn.
Yes, like, the detective thing, I could see her turning that down, although if she's like a real nympho or whatever, I don't think she would. Because, I mean, yes, he's an old man, but he's not that old.
Yeah.
But yes, turning down the guy she specifically brought to the Valentine's party.
That she interrupted her friend's speed date to talk to.
Yes, stole this man from her friend, grinds all over him at the dance, and follows him upstairs when any normal person would know what he's thinking about doing upstairs.
In the bedroom, where they then proceed to kiss more.
Where I have something to show you.
A dozen roses, thing you want to praise.
There were so many things I thought were done really well in this movie, and then so many things that were done badly that we just discussed. But honestly, I think the thing I want to praise most is the commitment to using practical effects when they very easily could have done the bad early 2000 CGI. Even though the studio kind of neutered a lot of the kills, I thought they looked really well done. I like there was the fun set pieces, even though some of them are kind of dumb, like the bow and arrow one where she falls into the dumpster out the emergency exit.
Right.
It's like it's a real Rube Goldberg machine of a kill. But yes, I thought they were all well done. I liked it. I liked the variety. There's no like kills that feel like just one off. They're kind of like. Every kill felt like, which I think was the director's intention, felt like a set piece of its own, with its own theme. And I liked the killer mask. I thought it was cool, even though he does look like he's struggling to kill people because of his mask at certain points. So not the most practical killer mask. You know, it's no William Shatner dyed white, Jay.
Also, I read on the thing for like the gore being neutered, like you said, I read like, oh, like the studio was worried like the time that it came out, it would be too gory. And I went, oh yeah, it came out in 2001, like post 9/11. Then I went, wait, it came out in February of 2000. 9/11 hadn't even happened yet. Before, what the fuck are we doing?
It was just some weird panic, I guess, around that time. Because, you know, it's every 15 to 20 years, people are like, horror's gone too far.
Yeah, I think we've been in one of those periods.
Yes. But yes, I admire the commitment to actually doing the effects in the cool, practical way when they very easily could have done what so many early 2000s horror movies did and used the horrible CGI blood.
For me, my dozen roses is this movie has such strong giallo vibes. You've got a masked killer who, like, it's a whodunit. You've got this cast of characters. You've got a whodunit. You've got all of these, like, unique settings. You've got like really interesting lighting, a lot of like really beautiful camera work. It just like I'm like, whoever is in charge of that, whether it's the director, whether it's one of the someone on the set, someone somewhere is a big giallo fan, and that shows in this movie. Final rating. I don't know, it's a Valentine's episode. I don't know what to call our things for Valentine's Day. Seasonally scary, you'll be sorry. Ho ho ho, hilarious.
Let's see. We got to come up with some of these. So what's bad for Valentine's Day? An empty box. Is it an empty Valentine's box? You know, you're the kid at school who gets no Valentine's in class.
What if it's let's
chalk hearts.
Oh yeah, chalky hearts. Yeah. You can choose this movie or would that be ho ho? Yeah, I guess that'd be kind of ho ho hilarious. Valentine's spooky.
I know what we could do. So seasonally spooky is good. That'll be invited to the dance.
Okay.
Ho ho hilarious / middle of the road could be speed dating for this movie, and then horrible will be waxed it.
All right. Perfect. Jeff, where do you put this movie?
This is a speed dating movie for me. It had a lot of stuff in it that made me like it, but it also has some stuff in it that made me roll my eyes and be like, God, this is really is just every slasher movie I've ever seen, isn't it? Which is not always necessarily a bad thing, but this one is very trope heavy, combined with some of the weird, uneven writing, I think, makes it a hilarious for me. That and the fact that Man Bones is Man Bones in this, and I can't see him as anything else.
And he's not Angel.
Yes, he's not Angel, he's not Man Bones, but he's pretending to be somebody else. That, and I messaged you about this. Does he always play alcoholics?
I don't know.
He's always an alcoholic and everything.
I was just sitting there. I'm like, when's Angel going to use his vampire powers?
But yeah, there's a lot of things I liked about it. So I didn't want to make it, you know, I didn't want to wax it, Jay. But
I
don't think I'm quite inviting it to the dance.
I'm going to invite this movie to the dance. For me, this is a brilliant mashup of like Slaughter High meets My Bloody Valentine. But you know, with giallo sensibilities mixed with like all the hallmarks of a 2000s era slasher.
I mean, there's Scream's fingerprints are all over this thing. Even down to the way some of the characters talk. I think is very Scream.
Scream's a giallo, technically.
Yes, as I say, Scream, I'm sure, was huge at this point, and yes, drew heavy inspiration from some giallo stuff.
But yeah, I think this is a fun time. Like, is it a great movie? No. Yeah. But it's a fun slasher. I think I would maybe put it in between My Bloody Valentine and My Bloody Valentine 3D. Which, like, I know sometimes I'm always kind of on the fence. Like, I and My Bloody Valentine's great. And yeah, but sometimes I'm like, My Bloody Valentine 3D is pretty dang good. Like, I'd put them kind of 1-1A, but I'm like, this might slip in between the two of that small space. This might slip in between the two of them. Just like I said, I had a fun time. I don't think it's a great movie, but it's a fun movie.
That's why I'm speed dating it, Jay.
And if you like Thanksgiving, if you like the style where like, oh, none of these characters are likable, I want to watch all of them get killed, you'll love this.
You know what, Jay? I spend a little bit of time. I spend about 30 seconds with this movie. I like it. Maybe I invite it to drinks. Maybe it pours wax on my balls later.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Well, Jeff, do you think that we've got no one to dance with? Maybe we're going to get beat up and called perverts, and we're going to be standing there in our tidy blueies. Let's read some reviews.
See, Jay, I wanted to say I have all this insight into this movie, Jay, because I am a real pervert, and none of these things accurately represent pervert behavior, except for the pervert cop and the pervert across the street, or across the hall.
Yeah, but fucking creepy Gary. That guy is a real pervert.
You're scary, Gary.
All right, so I'm going to start off with a 1 out of 10, because I don't exactly know what this person's trying to say. 1 out of 10. Barbie and Ken in Toyland.
Okay.
What's an exploitation movie without TNA sex and gore? Right. Stuff for MTV kids and a stupid, senseless, all too well known story that's boring to death. The screenwriter's idea of horror seems to be showing stereotyped Barbie and Ken lookalikes talking crap. It's unbelievable that writers get paid for this stuff, and that's the real horror. I mean, like I said, maybe trim two of those writers off and we get some of the unevenness ironed out. But like,
yeah,
I mean, don't get the Barbie and Ken.
I'm guessing it's because they're all super attractive people. Which, I mean, that's Hollywood for you. I mean, I'm guessing that's probably his critique of the fat chick being not fat at all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, like, I also just enjoyed the, like, without TNA sex and gore. I mean, there's implied sex. Yeah, I mean, there could be nudity. There's no nudity. But, like, gore, there is gore. It just got neutered out of the movie. That's not their fault.
I was going to say, this movie definitely had... I think it would be more popular if the studio had not interfered in the kills. But I do agree that for a movie focused around Valentine's Day with such a heavy focus on sex, not actually having any nudity was kind of a weird choice.
You get like the hint of nudity in the maze.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was expecting there to be like, I was at least expecting nudity or something.
I mean, Jay, I recently rewatched Dewey Cox. That has more nudity than this movie.
Walk hard, Jeff.
Walk hard.
Jeff, You don't want to get addicted to this. No, will it make my dick not work? No, it makes sex even better. You don't want to do it.
I think I kind of want to try some of this cocaine. All right. A plastic heart with no pulse. This isn't a horror movie. It's a Valentine's Day candy box filled with chalk. Valentine. That was an authentic Jay Logsdon laugh there. Valentine takes the late 90s slasher formula and drains it of everything that made those films fun. The characters aren't people. They're mannequins. The mystery is obvious by the halfway mark. I'll give him the mystery thing. The mystery was not much of a mystery if you were paying attention. The dialogue sounds like it's from a bunch of rejected WB pilots. Hey, it was.
I see, yeah.
And the killer's Cupid mask is more spirit Halloween than slasher icon.
Go fuck yourself.
I always had to pull him with some spirit Halloween shade thrown in there for Jay. The kills are bloodless, the scares non-existent, and the runtime feels like detention. By the time the finale crawls around, you're not asking who's the killer. You're asking, how is there possibly still 20 minutes of this left? A horror movie around Valentine's Day should make your heart race. This one barely raised my pulse.
That's the I do kind of agree that, like, it did feel a little long. Like,
I agree. It could have. Now, maybe the original cut justified the runtime. I don't know.
Yeah, but
yeah, it does. In its current form, I do think it probably could have been like 15 minutes shorter.
But also, I want to pull on all the hard work that the 90s slashers did or whatever. I don't recall the 90s being yes, there's Scream. I don't recall the 90s being like a huge celebrated moment for slashers or horror movies. I don't know that people looked to the 90s as like
what do we have?
A golden age.
That's a good question, Jay. What did we have in the 90s? I know obviously we had Scream.
Oh, while you're looking that up. Go ahead.
I guess. I mean, there's I Know What You Did Last Summer, Candyman. We had Leprechaun. That's
okay.
A good one. Kind of not a super slasher.
But. And I would say, like, Candyman, that's kind of like a weird, like, esoteric kind of a slasher, especially the first one, kind of a slasher, kind of not.
I mean, we said Scream, Jack Frost.
Yes, the hallmark of a great slasher. You and I love Jack Frost. I don't know that that's the hallmark of a great slasher.
Oh, Maniac Cop 2 and Child's Play 2 were both, yeah. Yeah, that's not bad. Oh, Uncle Sam Wants You Dead. We're going to have to do that one of these days, Jay.
I assume some of the later Hellraiser movies in the 90s.
There's those.
Which those become slashers, but people don't like those later Hellraiser movies because they're no longer Hellraiser movies. They're now slasher movies with Cenobites.
I didn't realize Castle Freak, although that's not much of a slasher.
No, that's more a monster movie.
What else? That's all that's really jumping out. But still not like a terrible time for slashers, I guess.
But also, like I said, I don't know that it's like a celebrated time for slashers.
No, I would say that'd be going a little far to say a celebrated time.
Or certainly like to be like, all the hard work that 90s slasher, or whatever the person wrote. Like, I don't know about that. 1 out of 10, very disappointing. I've had that review before.
Yeah.
me and shitty Campbell.
You know, I wanted to make a quick note because Jay loves this movie, by the way. You want to know what else came out in 2001?
Is that Halloween? Is it Halloween Resurrection?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a movie you actually love.
Oh, is it a movie I actually love? You're going to say it and I'm going to...
Jason X.
Oh.
Evil gets an upgrade.
See, yeah, that was the... Oh, man.
What a good year.
Whew.
distracted Jay. He's reading a review.
1 out of 10. Very disappointing. This movie was one of the worst movies I have ever seen.
Oh, come on.
The trailer looked good, but the suspense was absent from the thriller.
Let's not be dramatic.
Everything was predictable except for certain scenes. Everything was predictable except some of the scenes that weren't.
Why do these people do this? I forgot my disclaimer, by the way. All these opinions are wrong. My opinion is the only correct one. There we go.
That had absolutely nothing to do with the storyline. The acting was okay, given the horrible script. About the best thing I could... And this was wild. About the best thing I could say about this movie is that it would have been great for MST3K. This is a much larger budget than MST3K would ever look at. Like,
although it does feel like a lower budget movie. But yeah, this is way too highbrow for them.
I've got, I think, like three more-ish.
Cupid shot me instead. Reddit review. If you've ever wondered what happens when a studio tries to manufacture a horror movie in a lab using only hair gel, frosted lip gloss, and leftover WB actors, Valentine is your answer. Nothing in this movie feels human. The characters aren't friends. They're walking clothes ads. The dialogue sounds like it was written by someone who learned about women exclusively from shampoo commercials. Every scare...
You've got the urge to herbal, Jeff.
Every scare arrives with the energy of someone tapping you on your shoulder to ask for the time. And the killer, a mask that is part cherub, part cupid, that looks like it came free with a dollar store garden statue. By the third act, you're not afraid. You're embarrassed for having involved yourself in this movie. This is not a horror movie. It is a 96-minute whodunit with the occasional murder.
I mean, that's what a lot of slashers are. You know, like I said, giallos, they're all kind of whodunits. Anyway, 1 out of 10, nothing to do with the book. This is the review I was talking about.
I agree.
I really didn't like this movie. The best thing was the very end, although I kind of guessed it. I knew that the plot was supposed to be based on it, but it didn't make sense in the movie of who was getting slashed or killed. And I thought it was pretty obvious who was getting killed in the movie. Anyway, there was a lot of unnecessary characters in the movie who get slashed for no apparent reason. Maybe just to add gore. I would say the only two people are Ruthie and the maid. I mean, the maid really didn't deserve it, and Ruthie probably didn't deserve it. Creepy Gary absolutely deserved to die.
The Jason didn't deserve to die.
I don't know that he does. He gets arrested.
I don't know. I think he died.
I tried not to compare the novel to the movie. I had read it a few months ago, but the book kept coming back to me. If you want to read the book, go ahead. It is really good and much better than this movie. I don't think the movie did the author justice, just using the title and a loosely based plot. What really unnerved me was the character names. Nothing to do with the ones in the book. I don't think the screenwriters read the book. Probably just read the jacket summary. I hope that an intelligent screenwriter reads the book and makes a movie that would be more appropriate for this kind of book. That's all I have to say.
That would be cool. A Valentine remake that actually follows the book. Because the book plot sounds much more interesting than the movie.
Have it be kind of meta, too. Where, like, you're aware that there's a Valentine there's a movie... Yes. That was maybe that used the title of the book or the idea of the book and then like didn't do it. Like have some kind of meta reference to this movie.
The slowest slasher ever. 0 stars if I could.
I don't know if that's true.
This movie moves like it's stuck on dial-up internet.
Have you seen Halloween 2?
Scene after scene of people wandering through apartments, talking, sitting, drinking wine. All the woman thinks. Then they talk some more. Then maybe someone dies in a very unexciting way. I've seen IKEA assembly videos with more tension. The plot is red herring, red herring, red herring. Oh, it looks like it was the obvious guy. Congratulations, you solved the mystery in the first 20 minutes. If suspense were oxygen, this movie suffocates immediately. Would watch paint dry. At least that would have texture.
Red herring, the guy from Pup Named Scooby-Doo?
Yes, the very one, Jay.
Red
and
herring?
And I heard he was a disgusting pervert. He asked Daphne to the dance.
Fucking pervert.
God, disgusting.
God, I hope Norville and Fred beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, strip him down, get him sent to reform school.
Strip him down to his tidy reddies.
Yeah.
Because they're blue. I was really hoping that would come back at some point.
God, the blue underwear.
The blue underwear. 1 out of 10. Don't even rent this dog.
Ooh.
Let me first.
Wait a minute. Dog like the animal or dog like my dog?
D-O-G.
Okay. So he's saying dog like it's bad.
Yeah. Let me first say that I wouldn't have gone to see this movie had I not been given free passes.
Oh.
The trailer alone tip you off to how bad this movie is. I've not seen the trailers. But the story, can't really call it a plot, revolves around four childhood friends who have since grown up. As kids, they harassed a nerdy male classmate who now seems to be stalking them in revenge. All receive creepy Valentine's Day gifts ranging from cards Hallmark would never have approved of. Okay, but yeah, but that's like, arguably that's maybe my favorite part of the whole movie are the creepy cards.
It is cool.
To the inedible candy. Inedible isn't the way I would describe that candy, but
disgusting.
Sure.
Disgusting, more accurate.
Do you care who the killer Do you care who the killer it? No. Do you care any of these girls?
No.
No. They're all beautiful, yes, but none of them are standouts in the acting category.
I'm going to stop you right there, buddy. Dorothy is a fat fucking pig.
Yeah,
I wouldn't look twice at her.
Had they been given some even mildly decent lines, perhaps they would have had something to work with. Instead, they come off as one-note stereotypes, especially Denise Richards. As for the purring wench, of the four. What a weird way to phrase that.
That slut is a purring wench.
Valentine is also totally predictable. Nothing inventive or truly suspenseful about it. The masked motif is a total ripoff of countless other horror movies. Don't waste your money even at the video store. That tells you how old this is.
Nice. I respect it. It's old, Jay. My time has ended.
I think it came out about 2001, or the reviews from about 2001.
Wow. This is from 2011. Peak 2001 in the worst way. You want to know those early, you know, those early 2000s fashions photos where everyone looks aggressively airbrushed and vaguely plastic? That's this entire film.
I was going to say all of the guys have awful, like,
yes,
except David Boreanaz, who just has his same haircut that he's always had.
He looks like man bones, like normal.
All the other guys have the most like late 90s, early 2000s haircuts.
Yes, it's distracting in some parts.
There's so many where I'm like, God, I can't believe as a society we ever thought that
we approved of this. That's the entire film. It's not scary. It's not funny. It's not clever. It's just shiny. Every frame screams, please put us on the MTV in between TRL segments. The soundtrack sounds like a rejected, now that's what I call music CD. The acting ranges from soap opera to hostage video. The emotional stakes are non-existent because everyone is so unlikable, you start rooting for Cupid. And the one,
yeah, sometimes those are fun.
At one point I realized the killer is the only character in this movie with any personality. Not good.
I think they would have. I think that person would have hated Thanksgiving too. For yes. Like, oh, none of these characters. You don't like any of these characters.
That some people have that attitude, Jay. They want to be able to root for the main people, and if they can't, then they don't like the movie.
And that's fair, I guess. But I don't know. So I enjoy a movie every once in a while where you're like, man, these people suck. I can't wait to watch them get slashed.
I prefer movies where I think the villain is doing the right thing. You know, like Star Wars. Anyway. You got another one?
I got one last one. 4 out of 10. Not very good, but better than expected.
Hey, you got something there. That doesn't seem like a 4 out of 10, but that's a little more like a 6 out of 10.
That's what I thought, too. Valentine is another horror movie to add to the stock and slash movie list. Think Halloween, Friday the 13th, Scream, and I Know What You Did Last Summer. It certainly isn't as good as those movies that I have listed about, but it's better than most of the ripoffs that came out after the first Friday the 13th film. One of those films was the 1981 Canadian made My Bloody Valentine, which I hated a lot.
Okay.
Valentine is a better film than that one, but it's not saying much. And then they talk about the plot for a while. The film moves years later when those classmates are all grown up. They're all picked off one by one. The killer is presumed to be the young boy, now all grown up looking for revenge, but is it him or could it be somebody else? Well, it is him, but it's also somebody else.
Yeah.
Valentine has an attractive cast, which includes Denise Richards, David Boreanaz, Marley Shelton, Jessica Capshaw, and Katherine Heigl. They do what they can with the material they've got, but a lackluster script doesn't really do them any justice. There are some scary moments throughout, however. And then, because it's IMDb, they rated it 4 out of 10, but then below they put 2 stars out of 4.
Nice.
I don't.
I like that. So if it's a 4 out of 10, but two stars out of four, that's a 50%, which would be a 5 out of 10. I don't know. I think they're mixing up their scales, right, Jay? You can't cross the streams.
Jeff, look online. See if there's a IMDb to star.
Yes. Let me find a converter. Oh yes. Oh, actually, it converts to 4.67 stars.
Oh. Jay.
Oh my god. Okay. 1 star. How did this cost $29 million? I agree. How did this cost $29 million?
You gotta pay for
gotta get Denise Richards.
Gotta get Bones before he's gotta get back to Bones. Or Angel before he's gotta get back to Buffy and or Angel.
Where did the money go? Clearly not the script. Clearly not the effects. Clearly not the tension. Did they spend the whole budget on lip gloss and mood lighting? The big kills look like cable TV reenactments. The twist is telegraphed harder than a Scooby-Doo episode. And the finale, this is the part I liked. The finale feels like it was edited with a weed whacker, which I agree. The finale is the most jarring part of the movie for a bad cutting it up. This is the kind of movie you find playing silently on a waiting room TV at the dentist. A slasher movie without slash. A mystery without mystery. A movie without purpose.
Oh, man, I'd love to fucking watch Valentine at the dentist's office. Like, it's on mute and you got subtitles, but the subtitles don't quite line up. Man, that sounds like a good time.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like a J activity.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll just find me hanging around at dentist's office.
This is on Letterboxd, J. Angry. One star. I would like my 96 minutes back, please. Very, very Letterboxd to start off with. Thank you. Actually, no. I want interest.
Oh, yeah. They'll give you time with interest. Fuck off.
This movie feels like it was written by someone who heard about Scream secondhand and said, what if we remove the jokes, the scares, and the intelligence? It's aggressively mediocre. It's not bad enough to laugh at. It's not good enough to thoroughly enjoy. It's just kind of like a beige, lifeless void. If Cupid really wants revenge, he'll force these people to watch this movie.
Ha! Ha 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 ha! Oh, sorry. Sorry. Delayed how funny that last line
was. That was disturbing, Jay, how funny that was to you. That's all I got. I mean, there were a ton, by the way. I had to pick some of the bad ones because there are so many bad ones.
Oh, no. People fucking hate this movie.
This movie is despised.
I think it's gained a cult following over the years.
It's got a small group of, like, defenders I see crop up in some places. But any place where, like, the movie snobs congregate, this movie has been, like, thrown in the trash.
And, like... You know, no, like, do I agree with the people who are like, it doesn't do anything new? Yeah, I mean...
It doesn't do anything new.
But, I mean, how many slashers do anything new these days?
Not many. I mean, the last one that did do something new was Scream, and that was 1996.
Jeff, I think you're forgetting about Primate.
No. Actually, no, you know what, Jay? I agree. Primate did do something new.
Because it made the slasher a monkey.
Yes, it had the Primate do it. Which, I mean, hey, that's pretty much the only things you can do with a slasher movie are make it an interesting killer or set it somewhere new.
Yep.
That's pretty much all you could do to change a slasher, because at the core, they're all the same.
Yep. That's the thing. Yeah, exactly. Well, Jeff, let's fill out our Valentine's dance card. Where do we want to put the Cupid killer? I was going to say below both Harry Wardens.
Yeah, I think Man Bones would get his ass kicked by Harry Warden.
Certainly by Dean Winchester, Harry Warden.
Dean, that would be no... He's almost superhuman. There'd be no chance against him.
But I also think...
Original.
Original Harry Warden also probably kicks his ass.
I think so.
All right, it's settled.
Deal.
We shook on it.
Deal.
All right, it's time for this.
I like making deals.
Garbage Day!
Huh?
No!
All right, we got Jolly Rancher Jelly Hearts.
Oh, boy.
We've got Sour Punch Rad Reds.
Oh.
I don't know if we'll be able to tell all the reds apart.
Jay was like, let me load him up on as much red dye 40 as I possibly can.
Yeah, we get it. Jeff, the only way this podcast is ending is if we die of cancer first. Sour Patch Kids Glow Up Hearts.
Don't tempt the Reaper, Jay.
And Sour Patch Kids Conversation Hearts.
Oh, boy.
And I picked this one specifically, Jeff, because it has a Mike Lombardo on it.
Oh,
the orange one says Riz.
Oh.
And as everyone knows, Mike Lombardo is the Riz King.
He is.
The Riz King of Pennsylvania.
Oh, there it is. What is this world coming to? Why is there Riz, Jay? Why
I don't
is there
know.
Riz? That is not a Valentine's thing. Having charisma is not Valentine's Day. Oh, they're actual hearts?
Yeah, they're actual...
Oh, I thought they were gummy.
Those ones are gummies.
Oh. Hard pass. Oh, yeah, that'd be a nice one to get.
I think they're all supposed to be kind of rude.
Yeah. I don't know. This one just says Pookie, which, while disturbing, is not rude. People who use Pookie unironically, I think, are serial killers, by the way. Oh, wink. I'm winking at you, Jay.
What color am I missing? I got yellow, blue, red, orange, green.
I need a blue for sure. And I have half a Riz. I don't need the other half.
All right, I think those are all the colors. And this.
Well, we want to talk about what we are getting our wives for Valentine's Day, since neither one of them listens to the show.
My wife does.
Oh. Yeah, mine does too sometimes, because she'll bring up something I said on there and she'll be like, "Did you really think that about that movie?" And I'll be like, "I don't know what you're talking about." You think I listen to this shit?
I only re-listen to it to edit it. I don't remember half the things I say.
He doesn't even like to do that.
I was listening to the Gnomesick episode, and I was laughing like I had heard all those things for the first time.
I honestly do that sometimes. I'll listen back to an episode, and I'll be getting into it like it's a regular podcast. I'll be like, oh, yeah, I forgot that was us.
All right. Sorry.
What are we starting with?
One of my Sour Patch Kids says sus. Let's start with these.
Oh, okay.
The Sour Patch Kids gummy hearts.
All right.
So the lighter pink ones are strawberry watermelon.
That definitely tastes of strawberry watermelon, yeah.
The darker ones are cherry.
Yeah. They're good.
I think those are both pretty good.
Yeah. All
right. And then the Jolly Ranchers are cherry, strawberry, and watermelon.
Hmm.
I don't like the texture of the Jolly Rancher ones.
Weird.
It's got like a candy shell, but then like the texture on the inside is like a weird, not quite gummy.
Like jelly beans almost. They don't really have that much flavor either.
No, these are not good.
Which is weird, because Jolly Rancher usually has pretty good flavor. Yeah. I definitely wouldn't get these.
Sorry, I had a water bottle in here. I was like, I didn't get the taste of those disgusting Jolly Ranchers out of my mouth.
All right, what are we going for next?
Let's do the Sour Patch Kids and be that way we can be more disappointed.
Hard
when we do
pass.
When we do the sour straws.
Hard pass.
Ooh, I like those.
Basically,
not as chalky as normal conversation hearts. They've got a little more.
It's basically a sweet tart.
Yeah, it's like a Sour Patch Kid sweet tart.
Mm. I don't hate it.
Now, like a bag this big of them, probably not. But if I got like a little box of these,
yeah, if it showed up with a Valentine, I'd be happy with it. I don't like it as much as the gummy ones, but they're not bad.
I think those gummy ones are really good.
All right, well, guess we better try the straws.
All right, let's straw it up. So I tried the dark red one. I have no idea what that's supposed to taste like.
Dark red one's not good. I can taste the watermelon in one of them.
I wonder if the dark red, so it's supposed to be strawberry, watermelon, cherry, and raspberry. I wonder if the dark red's supposed to be raspberry. Because when like you think of a raspberry, it's like a deeper color.
Yeah. Nah. Basically, the only one that's really given any kind of strong flavor are the cherry and the watermelon. The other ones are just kind of just general punch straw flavor.
No, that watermelon is a strong flavor.
I mean, they're sour punch straws. You've had them.
Yep. All right, I'm going to try one last one. Yeah, I'm not really getting nothing to write home about. I think I'd put the Jolly Ranchers at the bottom. And then probably the Sour Punch Straws.
Yeah, I'd agree. And then probably the Conversation Hearts.
And then, yeah, go check out
the Gummy Sour Patch.
Glow Up Hearts.
Yep.
Those are pretty tasty. And cherry certainly is a different flavor because they normally do red berry.
Mm.
But The strawberry watermelon I know is on like a couple different things, but yeah, that's those aren't bad.
Solid. Yeah, but honestly, other than that one, pretty much all forgettable.
Like I said, if I got a small box of the conversation hearts, it'd be fun.
The conversation sweet tarts were pretty good, but I mean, at the end of the day, they're pretty much sweet tarts with a little Sour Patch flavor.
Well, if you have any thoughts on Denise Richards, I guess more importantly, Valentine, or you know what? If you have an opinion on who Johnny Rico should have picked, Carmen or Dizzy.
If you pick anybody but Dizzy, what the hell are you doing with your
exactly.
life?
Johnny Rico's an idiot. Dizzy was way hotter than Carmen.
Better personality, hotter, obviously in love with you.
Yep. Stupid Johnny Rico. God.
Yeah. His dad was right. He really is the fucking worst,
yeah.
isn't he?
Yeah. So if you have any thoughts on Starship Troopers, or I guess Valentine more importantly, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, leave comments. Leave comments on the podcatchers, upvote us, give us 5-star reviews, put 0 stars if you could, so we know you actually listen to the show.
Like a real sicko.
And you know what? That's the only reviews we're going to read, Jay.
Yep.
5 stars. We don't care if you say it's the worst thing you ever heard, as long as it's 5 stars.
We need those 5-star reviews so you can subject more people to this terrible podcast.
Exactly. More. We're growing every day, Jay. We're spreading like a fucking virus over the internet.
We're infecting.
And you know what? I'm a fat fucking pervert, and I'm going to overwhelm the internet with my horrible podcast.
Perfect. I'm going to chop that up, and I'm going to use that later.
I mean, you might as well. More sound bites.
Listeners, if you have some fun sound bite to use with Jeff saying that, make it and send it in. I don't know how you do it, but do it. Figure it out.
Women, if you're over 5 pounds overweight, you're a fucking buffalo. Get out of my sight.
This is String Bean and the Buffalo. Oh yeah, Christmas Podcast Network. Man, they're not gonna like this episode. Christmas Podcast Network. There's all sorts of good stuff over there. Way better than this podcast. Go check them out.
It's a mystery, honestly. I don't know why they have us on there.
Yeah. You
know,
they're gonna take one listen to this and they're gonna be like, you know what? Canceled.
The only reason they're going to listen to the show is because they're going to hear in a soundbite somewhere that I'm a fat pervert who's spreading his podcast like a virus over the internet.
Yeah, I think that's it. We'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be back with a Christmas horror movie. Scared you. All right. Anyway. Happy Valentine's Day, Jeff.
Happy Valentine's Day, Jay.
Don't get
you fat fucking buffalo.
Don't get your throat slit or whatever the fuck the card says. Bye!
Get out of here, you perverts. The podcast is over.